The Founding Fathers said that our rights come from the Creator, and the first right they listed was the right to life. But in this country, the abortion ethic has undermined the right to life in the last five decades. Today, there are some politicians and their allies in the media who view abortion as among the most sacred of rights. Not the right to life, which is in the Declaration of Independence, but the right to abortion. Recently, California Governor Gavin Newsom, who's definitely pro-abortion, writes, he appointed a senator to replace the late Dianne Feinstein, who was pro-abortion. The new senator is LaFonso Butler, who is pro-abortion. President Joe Biden is pro-abortion. So is Vice President Kamala Harris. So is Jen Psaki of MSNBC, who used to be the president's spokesperson. And on it goes. Susan B. Anthony, pro-life America president, Marjorie Dannenfelser, condemned this recent senatorial appointment. She said, quote, "The abortion lobby spends millions to elect Democrats who back its agenda of abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy, paid for by taxpayers. Today's Democratic Party stands for abortion anytime, for any reason, with no limits up to birth. Republicans should stand up for life and embrace at least minimum national protections at 15 weeks when babies in the womb feel pain and go on the offensive to contrast themselves with their opponents' extremism." End quote. E.V. Osment is the Vice President of Communications for Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, and she joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and E.V., it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, thank you so much for having me here. Unfortunately, with this story, though, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. They're not talking about women or children or protecting them. They're pushing the protection of abortion across America. That really is just something to punctuate here, which is they're saying the quiet part out loud now. And what we're seeing with Governor Gavin Newsom's appointment of LaFonso Butler, and I want to paint this picture for your audience. LaFonso Butler was the president of Emily's List. Emily's List is an abortion lobby that is a multi-million dollar Democrat supporter alongside Planned Parenthood and NARAL. So we've known for decades now that the Democrat Party, works in tandem with the abortion lobby. But this move by Governor Gavin Newsom is just out in the open now. It's a blatant pay-to-play system where you scratch my back, I scratch yours, and now I handpick you for a Senate seat. And she wasn't even a California resident. She was registered as a Maryland resident.
You know, it's interesting. We all know that phrase, show me the money. And in a very real sense, that's almost like the tagline, honestly, of Planned Parenthood, isn't it? It's all about money.
It is. A lot of people don't realize this because you're never going to hear it from the corporate media because they're really, abortion lobby gatekeepers and Democrat Party gatekeepers. They funnel the information that they want you to know about what's going on behind the scenes there because almost all of them are pro-abortion. But you're right. Planned Parenthood, when you look at their annual report, they made, listen to this, $1.97 billion with a B in income. That is astronomical. And think of all the women and children that could be really helped with that money. But that's the money that they get in their pockets.
But, okay, so talk about in terms of abortion itself, what kind of costs are we, by the way, some of the things that really, open people's eyes to Planned Parenthood are when you have situations where somebody who used to work for them on the inside, then they come out and they say, hey, this is terrible. It really is all about money. I thought I was helping women, but this is all about money. And I'm thinking of Abby Johnson, for example, of Unplanned fame.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I speak to quite a few of them. You know, I've talked to them, and they really just have their eyes wide open. I spoke to one not too long ago. She defected from Planned Parenthood, and she was telling me it's a money-making organization. They try and funnel abortions to as many women as they can. You know, they get them in the door and get them out as quickly as possible. Now we're seeing that they are trying to push mail-order abortions across the country. The Biden administration because of COVID-19, established that you could do mail order abortion. So abortion pills in the mail. Well, COVID-19 is no longer the national emergency, but yet they have made that permanent law. So now it is law of the land. And so you see pro-abortion states like New York say, okay, doctors, you will not a shield law. You will be protected if you want to prescribe abortion pills and mail them to young girls and women in pro-life states across the country. And for me, it's just so eye-opening that this is in service of the altar of abortion, not the individual needs of the woman. They're not doing any kind of medical oversight for this woman. They're not even confirming that she's pregnant, yet they are sending the pills and mail ordering them in these scenarios. And we're seeing this happen. This is really a newer phenomena across the country.
And I understand it's even a slight majority even of the abortions that are, taking place now in America. There was an astounding study that I've seen, and I've heard about reports like this through the years. So this is not a brand new phenomenon, but basically it goes like this. The majority of women who choose to have abortions actually felt compelled to have the abortion. So in other words, let's say it was, a young girl, she's living at home, she would be cut out, from the home, thrown out or whatever if she didn't have that abortion, or, kicked out of their house by her husband or her boyfriend, or, whatever it is. So in other words, the vast majority of those who choose abortion actually didn't want to choose abortion.
That's accurate. And I encourage everyone to go to the Charlotte Lozier Institute. They're doing amazing research and studies on this very thing. And one came out recently that showed the majority of women cite that their abortions were completely inconsistent with their preferences. And then a third of those felt directly coerced. So, I mean, that woman, they always talk about choice on the other side. You take a woman who's in the most vulnerable position of her life. And she's sitting there scared and not knowing what to do. And she has input from her partner, from her parent. Oftentimes we hear women talk about the doctor pressuring them into this. So she has all of these different people that at certain points could say, you know what, you might be too poor. You might not, you don't have a support system. This is what we want you to do. And so, of course, she's going to, be scared. And make this awful choice for not only herself, but for her child. In fact, Jerry, just to be a little personal here, I was one of those women. I had two unplanned pregnancies by the age of 22 with two different fathers. And I am so thankful and I praise God that there were people in my life who said, you know what, we'll make this work. We'll figure it out. I had people on friends and some people in my life that were trying to encourage me to get an abortion. And I'm just really glad that I did not take that path and that I have two beautiful children now, an open adoption with my son and my daughter at home. So,
wow, that's great. Okay, so who is the extremist when it comes to abortion? And I say that because, for example, you look at somebody like Joe Biden, where he's talking about, the MAGA Republicans or, the extremists, et cetera. But who is the extremist? I mean, abortion up to birth? That would seem to me the pro-abortionists that favor that is an extreme position.
Oh, Jerry, without a doubt, what we're seeing is the Democrat Party has just gone off the rails here. I we're pro-life, but even in the 90s, at least they viewed abortion as something that was unwanted, for the party at least. And there was a faction that were pro-life of the Democrat Party.
Oh, yeah. In fact, just use the phrase or think of the phrase from Bill Clinton where he said, we want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, Jerry. But we are not seeing that anymore. In fact, even NARAL recently, the National Abortion Lobby, they took out the words pro-choice from their name. They completely changed their name to Reproductive Freedom for All because they said in their ad recently when they changed their name that abortion is our demand. So that tells you, I think, a lot that you need to know right there. But I'm in search of any top-level Democrat that would say any limit that they would place on abortion, any boundary. And I have to tell you, I can't find any. And I am searching. What we see with Joe Biden, his press secretaries, with Vice President Kamala Harris and Democratic senators is they do not want to list a single week or limit that they would place on abortion. And back to your original point, follow the money. It's because their multi-million dollar donors are now saying, Planned Parenthood, NARAL, Emily's List, all of these, that you better not put any restrictions on this at all.
That's amazing. Okay, is pro-life a winnable cause?
Absolutely. It's absolutely a winnable cause. Here's what I have to say. We have to acknowledge that this country has had 50 years of Roe v. Wade. That's multiple generations that have grown up under Roe v. Wade. So there is heartburn for the pro-life community, and that there are people in America that want abortion. That is a fact. But what is just so stunning to me is that after 50 years of Roe v. Wade that allowed for late-term abortion, Americans still reject the terms of Roe v. Wade and late-term abortion. 7 out of 10 Americans, poll after poll shows this. We can look to it. NPR polls, Gallup, 7 in 10 Americans say that they do not want abortion, or they want it limited after the first trimester. So that tells me that they are not with the Democratic Party of no limits or no restrictions. So we have got to drive that contrast. And Jerry, one more thing I just want to tell your audience, which is that the Democratic Party has also pushed federal legislation called the so-called Women's Health Protection Act. That if it were to get through, would mean that it would strip all pro-life protections in pro-life states, all of the work that's been done over the last year and a half, and it would take away all of those protections, the different laws across the country, parental consent, mandatory ultrasounds, 24-hour waiting periods, and it would even compel doctors, medical staff to perform abortions against their conscience. You know, they're able to opt out. It would not allow them to opt out.
Now, recent elections have not gone well for the pro-life side of things, and it's hard to fully understand that, but I do know that obviously the other side has tons and tons of money. Of course, a lot of it's blood money, but they have the money and our side doesn't. Your thoughts?
They do have the money. That is a fact. I mean, they are, it's overly well funded. So that is something that we have to be very realistic about. Not only do they have the money, they have all the institutions of power in the United States, if you think about it, really. I mean, Hollywood, a lot of the government, they've cut pretty much all of the media. So this is definitely a battlefield, but we should not lose hope. We can talk to women and to families and explain the culture of life that we can build in this country. And like I just said earlier, 7 in 10 Americans are more with us than against us. They are not with them. And I am not seeing them list any reasonable limits that they would put on abortion at all. We have got to make Americans aware of this, because right now, Jerry, the playbook that the Democratic Party and the pro-abortion lobby have is, and I've read this, they say in blue states, talk about how pro-abortion you are. In red states or pro-life states, if you have something on the ballot, try not to use the word abortion at all. Get people to talk about miscarriages, birth control, or the phrase is reproductive freedom. It's all deceptive. They traffic in chaos and confusion.
Okay, we have 30, 40 seconds left. How about a closing thought, especially as 2024 will be an election year, and I'm sure abortion will be big in the issues.
That's right, absolutely. Well, two important things I want to point out here, which are we need to educate ourselves on how to talk to women and help them with pro-life and their children. And I would encourage everybody to go to sbaprolife.org and don't believe all of the lies you read in the media. Well, half the country now has put pro-life protections in place and hundreds of millions of dollars of funding for moms. So let's get out there and support and help our local pregnancy resource centers and vote our values.
Okay, that website again was
sbaprolife.org.
Okay, Evie Osment, again, the Vice President of Communications for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. Thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.